Hello and welcome to Clever Contents, a podcast from Content OD, a content agency based in the glorious leafy Sheffield. Most of it's leafy, not really most of it. There's a lot of concrete like any city, but there's some leaves.
It's very green.
That was the voice of my regular co-host, Tom Scott.
And I am very regular.
Indeed. And I'm Ian Broom. And we are going to be talking about content, as always, but very specifically, tools. It's kind of an episode which is all about tools.
Things that we use
to make stuff. But we're coming at it from a specific angle, I think. And the reason that we wanted to talk about this, have you noticed, Tom, that I never ask you how you are, by the way?
I know, I was thinking this before. How are you?
Do you want to know why?
Oh, go on. It's boring.
Yes. No,
is it a pet peeve?
It is a bit of a pet peeve. It's more of a, this is also, in my opinion, a podcasting tip. It is boring.
No one cares about
how the hosts are and what they've been doing in the previous week. And so just get stuck in, get right into it, which we've now not done. But there we go.
It's the first time we've ever done that.
Yes. So I've no interest in how you are, Tom, but I would like to hear your your opinions today on... we're talking about tools, I guess, tools that make making content easier. Mm. And the reason this has caught my attention in the last couple of weeks is because I discovered a new, I don't even know what it is really, because I've not properly explored it. I guess you'd call it an app. It's not entirely clear how it works. It's kind of a web app, but also you can download it.
It's a good point. What do you call it? Let's describe what it is and we'll work it out.
And the fact that it's not that as easy to describe as just say, you know, an app that you run on your laptop, although it is that.
See, when you say app, I always think mobile only.
Interesting. Well, that's a show right there. Are they apps? Are they programs? Is it software?
Who knows?
Absolute minefield of linguistic problems. Descript is an audio editor, effectively, with some heavy marketing towards the podcasting side of things, which is how I came across it. But it's basically got specific features designed for editing spoken word. And it seems to do some kind of magic.
It's extremely clever.
If it works how it says it works, and I'm yet to try it. I've downloaded it this morning and I intend to give it a try because it sounds great. If it works how it says it works, you record audio, much like we're doing now, and it automatically, presumably through some kind of magic AI type system, produces a transcript. And that transcript can be edited. And if you edit words out of the transcript, it automatically edits the audio.
Genius.
In theory, absolute genius. I shall be giving it a try and maybe I can report back on how it works. Mm. But that's not necessarily just what we want to talk about. The thing that I think is interesting about it, apart from that as a tool in itself, it kind of highlighted to me the growing trend for tools that do very specific things for very specific people who make very specific kinds of content, I suppose. That's a lot of specifics.
That's very specific.
Indeed.
But we all use them, don't we?
And more so, and we can perhaps come up with some examples in a second. But in terms of podcasts, I've been making podcasts for many years. You might be surprised.
I've just called you Mr. Podcast, so it doesn't surprise me.
You did. That was off air, and I insisted upon it.
Lots of things happen off air.
But I've been doing this for ages, and it's not especially complicated, but I think it feels complicated for someone who's maybe never edited any audio or never recorded anything.
I think the audio editing side of things would be quite daunting.
Yep, definitely daunting. And there's lots of questions around that when people first start a podcast. It's like, well, what apps do I use? How long do I need to record for? Like what equipment? What microphones? Do I need fancy headphones? All of this kind of stuff. Do I need a mixing desk? That's none of those questions are being answered in this podcast, apart from just don't worry about it and get started. But there's, you know, making a podcast in many ways requires things. You need to buy equipment and you need to maybe learn how to use apps and that type of thing. And there isn't, as far as I know, there certainly aren't many, if there are some, apps for making podcasts. And part of the reason for that is because I guess it's only become... although podcasts have been around for ages, it's only really exploded.
It's booming, isn't it?
Yes,
now?
In the last 3 or 4 years. And so before that, you would have to use, on the very simple end of things, maybe something like GarageBand or Audacity, which is a free tool for both Mac and Windows. But both of those are audio editors for types of audio. You know, you can do anything with them. They're quite complicated in some ways, even though they're, especially GarageBand, is at the very basic end of things. It's still like a powerful tool that does lots of different things. And on the other end of the scale, and lots of people who make podcasts do use these things, stuff like Logic on the Mac or Pro Tools and Adobe Audition.
I guess you're getting into the point of there's just so much to choose from, isn't there? Well, if you're going to start a podcast, what something like the script would make a decision for you, would it not?
It would. I think it would make it seem a lot easier to get started.
And like less overwhelming.
Less overwhelming. And the features that are in an app like that or in a tool like that, specifically designed for the tasks that you need to do as a podcaster, as opposed to here's an audio editing suite of tools and you will probably only use like 10% of them.
Yeah.
So even even just using something simple like GarageBand, you probably only need to use about 10% of the
team. I was going to say, because GarageBand is actually quite powerful if you know how to use it.
Yeah. And like I say, lots of people would use Logic instead, which is, you know, you can make hit records with that kind of thing. You can imagine such a thing. So I think that's interesting, the idea that more and more tools are being created to help, you know, make content. Before we continue to talk about that, can we just talk about Descript's product video?
We can, yeah. I just watched it.
So I only watched it just before we, just a little bit of research, just before we started recording. That's how you do it. Don't need to do any in advance. Hmm. Just do it before you record. And
I thought it was a bit Wes Anderson.
We had
Orwell last week, Wes Anderson this week.
Yeah.
Just the colours and the sort of the way that the people in it are positioned and the audio. It's very good.
Yeah. I loved it. I was, it's not very often you can watch a product video and say,
It's 2.5 minutes long as well. It keeps you in.
It does keep you in. And I think that's one of the, so I've written a list of things that I liked about it. And one of the reasons I think it worked as a product video, we'll include a link to this in the show notes.
It's quite hard to describe it, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's just in many ways, it's just a product video in that it shows you, it's got actors sort of playing out scenarios. That show how the software works.
It's got a bit of the bizarre about it, I think.
It's got personality, it's got character, and it's funny. It's like it's genuinely funny. It's like kind of, you know, proper, I don't know about laugh out loud, but certainly smirk at your screen.
Well scripted, isn't it?
You talked about the timing, and it's like 2.5 minutes long. You know, lots of people say it needs to be maximum 60 seconds for if you're selling anything.
The reason, not if it's good.
Not if it's good. One of the reasons it's good, I think, is that it has space. Like that 2.5 minutes gives it space to breathe and the jokes time to land. And it moves on in a really kind of, I don't know what the word is, maybe like a logical way. You learn about one feature, there's a joke, space, little pause,
I kind
and
of think
the next
it's
one.
The way the actors kind of question the features and then answer it in a way like a natural conversation would happen. You'd be like the overdub bit, which we didn't mention, that you can overdub your own voice and type a new word in and it reads it in your own voice, which is frightening.
Yes.
That's an incredible feature.
Yes.
I guess the other thing to say as well is that we clicked on the video on purpose to watch it. So it already had us kind of a bit more invested than maybe your traditional video when you just get served it like on, you know, Monday.com or Wix, whatever you see on YouTube. God knows how much they spend, but...
Yes.
Has anyone ever watched them all the way through? I have not. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think so.
Do you get served them?
I usually watch about 5 seconds.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. So maybe if we'd have been served an ad from Descript, I wonder if we'd have stayed on.
Possibly.
But anyway, so another conversation.
The other thing I wanted to say about this product video, is that it understands the product. So it's clear that it understood the product, as in it explained it well, and you got a real clear idea of what it was and how it might help you. But it really understood podcast as well, which I thought was a really, really important thing that came across. So there were references to Serial. So did you hear the Serial, like wasn't the exact same music, but have you listened to Serial?
Should we
go back 5 years and
I was going to say, I have not listened to Serial, but I know of it. And well, I was around when it was around, so it was unavoidable.
That music that's throughout Serial is very plinky plonky piano. And
great word, plinky plonky.
And, so like that sort of self-referential thing is kind of like, you know, just saying that we understand what podcasts are and these
Like we're in your space.
Exactly, yeah. And also common problems. So the common problems you have with making a podcast, like you said, but the actors were kind of asking the kind of questions that you might ask of a product if you were thinking of using it, which I think worked really well. And the final thing that I thought it did well is podcasts have exploded, but one of the great things about them is that they're kind of for anyone and that they're a real... So far, there's no like huge company that's come on and monopolized it all. That's kind of happening, like the money is coming in. But there's still it's still easy to start a podcast and make a success of it and that kind of thing. And that came across with the actors that they chose. I thought it was really inclusive. So there were men, women, young people, old people. There's the amazing bit with the boy and his dad, or say boy, like teenager and his dad, and he was trying to get him to do makeup tutorial podcasts with him. Just like, it wasn't nothing was like made of it. It was just, that's there.
It's
like a great relationship, like without saying it. It was just like really good writing. I then sort of scrolled down and it all made sense because this was made by Sandwich, who make amazing product videos and have done for about the last, I don't know, 7 or 8 years. They did the original Slack video, I think, and have just made loads of amazing product videos like that. So
American, I assume.
They are a US company, yes. And like, so if there's been a good product video for an app or a service that you've used in the last few years, Sandwich probably did the video for it.
Okay.
So yeah, go and check them out.
Links. We'll put them all on the links.
All these links will be in the show notes. So that's like a slight digression, but I just thought it was so good.
No, it's worth mentioning. It is good.
So some other examples of tools that are really specific.
Yep.
That are kind of filling, not gaps, but are kind of replacing these big gargantuan pieces of software that have existed for years.
So I use remove background. No, Chris was on the show last week, but mentioned it at the end of the show. I use that quite a lot too. It's, I think cutting things out in Photoshop, genuinely, I'm sure designers will argue it isn't, but I think it is quite a tricky thing to do.
I've never been brilliant at it.
Honestly, if you've not heard of this tool and you do a lot of it, go to the website, again, put it in the links and try it. It's ridiculously good. Like, I think I've used it.
So you have like a mugshot, so then you upload the picture to the,
it's kind of
to the service. It just removes the background.
For example, for me, I use it for the beer art Instagram account I've got. And sometimes if the photo I've taken I don't like, I might want to take the background out. Or if I'm using a high-res image of the can from someone else, it literally will strip out, no matter what's in the background, it's ridiculously good at just focusing on the core bit of the photo. What makes it even more impressive is you don't really have to tell it what the main focus is. But yeah, in terms of it, if it's just your head on a white background, obviously that's less impressive, but it could be you on like a picturesque coastal scene, windswept hair, and it would just remove it as like a transparent image. It's incredible.
And I, when we first thought about doing this as a topic, I'd just used an app called Jump Cut. So the technique that you see most vloggers do when they're doing their videos, where they, you know, it's just like quick jumps. They're called jump cuts. Mm-hmm. You probably know that.
How to learn, how to edit them.
Well, I spent quite, you know, I made the videos specifically to learn how to kind of have that effect and to do that. And it's not, you know, it isn't rocket science. It's a learnable thing, you know, with Final Cut or something like that. But this, the app Jump Cut, you just talk to your phone and then it just does, I don't know how it does it. I guess it looks for pauses. And I guess once you've used it, you can probably learn how to talk in a way that sort of suggests to the app where to put the cuts. But yeah, you just talk into your phone and let it do its thing, and lo and behold, you've got a little jump cut video.
Kind of like more power to the people, isn't it, these kind of things?
So that's exactly,
sorry if I've ruined you.
No, you've not ruined anything. It's a wonderful segue. That's what I think, but I'm interested to hear your thoughts. So some people might argue, so you just said it's power to the people. By that, I assume you mean it means that people
removing barriers so anyone can jump in.
If you've got a great idea.
Isn't that what we want?
Yeah. So you're not held back by the technology. It's like you've got a great idea and you've got a great piece of content you want to make.
Get stuck in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the alternative view
might
be that, which I suspect is by people who have learnt how to do this over many years. And it's like,
we're like losing the skills.
Losing the skill, just annoyed that it's something that took a long time to learn. But
that being said, these are all very specific things. So jump cuts, removing backgrounds, podcast editing, that it's not really going to replace like the level of experience someone, like a designer with 10 years of experience behind him can do an incredible amount of stuff that someone who was struggling to remove backgrounds, which you get what I'm getting at, is in there's such a wider skill set there. People shouldn't really be concerned that one element of what they do is being removed by a tool. In fact, they probably should be encouraging it because it probably demonstrates to everyone else how good they are at what they do. So if everyone can suddenly cut backgrounds, but what else can you do?
It's your expertise. So the cutting out the backgrounds and editing a podcast, specifically the editing of a podcast, they're just kind of tasks.
It's kind of like saying all people who were good spellers before didn't like spell check.
Yeah.
In a way.
I see what you mean. But that expertise.
Or Grammarly.
Grammarly is another good example, yeah.
Brilliant tool.
That kind of expertise or the ability to come up with an idea and to present it. Like, for example, the editing of the podcast is a task that needs to be done.
Yeah.
The performance of a podcast, and that's what this is, Tom. This is a performance.
Yeah.
Then that is something else that you can't necessarily just like switch on or learn a new app to be able to do.
So
a better example is the one you just given, like a designer. Being able to cut the background out of a picture is great, but actually being able to construct like a poster or a website or something else. That's a different
thing. And let's not forget that
different thing.
These tools often, they won't always work. So you're still always going to need people with the element of like, oh, there's no way that tool can cut that background out. There's no way that that can be audio edited using, I forgot what it's called now. That's bad.
Descript.
And yeah, there's another example, I guess, in web, really. Things like WordPress and Squarespace have allowed, and probably others, have allowed people to build websites that ultimately look professional, but are operated in quite a simple way. But we haven't really seen hundreds of web development agencies go out of business, have we? I think in many ways, it's kind of made people appreciate just how much development needs to go into really, really good websites, if you get what I'm getting at. So
I
think Squarespace is just a similar kind of thing, is it not, to these tools? It allows someone to build a website really quickly with minimal, well, no knowledge, really.
Yep. And but then there's still lots of room for things that Squarespace doesn't do for people to make other things.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I think it's empowering, and I think it's great that there is an entire generation that's coming through, that's growing up now without that mental barrier of, well, I could never do that.
Mm-hmm.
Which I know that even though I'm the sort of Wally that tries to make stuff all the time, even if I can't, and maybe makes a bad job of it, people are very easily put off by the barrier of, I can't do that. I don't know how to use the app. I don't know how to use Final Cut Pro, or I can't afford to use the app. So some of these apps that we've talked about, particularly video making apps and things like that, you know, costs hundreds of pounds. But now if you can get an app on your phone for free that can do it, that's, you know, opens it up to far more people, far
Absolutely,
more ideas.
Yeah.
And personally, I think that's a good thing.
I think it makes it more likely to uncover superstars.
Yes, let's hope so. Tom.
Yes.
Topic two. So
there is no new name.
So it's still called Good Bad, but I'm in charge.
You're in charge. Yeah.
I'm going to call it What the Hell.
Yep. Excellent. I like that.
So let's play What the Hell. So this is, I'm going to present you with some things and I would like your opinion.
Yes. Okay.
We're going to start with, in fact, this is all about Spotify, really. I was going to say start with Spotify, but it's all about it. Have you seen these ads from Spotify, which, how to describe it? They play on this idea of, it's kind of listen like you used to, is the strap line.
Yeah.
And they present a year, they say like 1980, and they say one strap line, and then 2019, and then there's like an alternative strap
line. It's the UB40 red wine at 40, is that the that
red
one of them?
Wine.
Yeah, that's it. There you go.
You're probably too young to remember UB40, Tom.
Yeah, I almost certainly am, yeah.
Goodness gracious. Red Wine,
great tune.
Popularized by
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to interrupt here. I did see a recent tweet of yours which said that the three best songs of all time were all recorded by Kate Bush.
Yeah, or written by Kate Bush.
Or
recorded
written,
by,
sorry.
Yeah, it's very important.
Written and recorded and performed.
Yes. You got a problem with that?
I think the Future Heads did a better version of one of their songs, which probably shows.
Okay, that's time to wrap up the podcast. Tom's going to be escorted from the building. The Future Heads version is great.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. Speaking of music,
yes,
back Spotify. To Spotify. So the example, the UB40 example. So it's just an ad. It's a very copy-led ad. So there are no pictures as such. 1983, UB40, red wine.
Mm-hmm.
2019, UB40, as in you are 40, UB40,
yep,
red
That's
wine.
It.
Spot any problems with that, Tom?
Oh, God, I feel like I'm being tested. Is there?
You are tested. This
is there a problem?
It's your game.
Is there a problem to test? Oh, I'm 17, 20...
Not
quite 40 for one.
If in 1983,
yeah,
you're listening to UB40,
you'd have to be just been.
You'd be four. If you're 40 in 2019, you'd be 4 years old. Probably not that bothered about UB40.
I see. It's clever, but not accurate.
No,
well, it's not even. I guess if it's not accurate, it's not clever either, is it?
Who am I to say?
Well, I think we are to say. I think that's what we're here for. you say.
I'm asking you.
I honestly hadn't noticed. I've seen that about before and I hadn't noticed it. And I'll be honest, I probably went along with everyone else and went, huh.
Yeah,
quite funny.
I think that's probably why they did it. I find it hard to believe that Spotify, the marketing team, didn't
add
notice.
Up.
Yeah, didn't do
this. This is
sums.
Suzanne Bum party again.
Yes, exactly. But at the same time, they probably just thought, it's quite a good line. Let's go for it. I'm going to give you another example. So there's a video example, and let me try and describe this. So there is a video of a woman who is dancing, and it says it's 1988,
mm-hmm.
and it says, Tom, what does it say? I've actually forgotten the
strap line. What's with the 80s? Is the 80s some sort of focus for them?
Well, I think it's the demographic,
right,
isn't
yeah,
it,
fine.
That they're aiming at. Let me just, 1988, you're 24-hour party people, and then the video is of her dancing with a glittery shell suit. And sits back on a sofa. And then 2019, you're 2 to 4 minute party people, minutes party people, and then there is there are like baby toys, not children's toys. Yes. There are baby toys scattered all around the floor. They've done the maths wrong again.
I mean, that sounds much more out than the first one.
It is, I think. I'm going to quote Layla Johnston, who is a fantastic Sheffield writer, artist, person who I follow on Twitter. Mm-hmm. She said, a game with these clever ads, clever is in quotation marks, if you were 18 in 1988, you're 49 or 50 this year, so unlikely to have a baby, toddler or be a grandparent. Does the lady work as a childminder? I'm giving her a tone of voice she doesn't actually have there, but it's a good point. So how I think this is a good ad campaign. We'll look at this in a minute, but I like it. I like that it's copyright. I like that it's clever. Does it matter that these dates are a bit off?
I'd argue it doesn't, personally. I just think they're a bit of fun. I don't know. But my kind of attitude would be, I quite enjoyed that, and just kind of move on with my day.
Do you think it's just pedantry on my part and some other people on the internet's part as well? Because for me, I kind of just think, we talked about this a little bit previously. Sometimes if you've got a really good line, that's a good line. 24-hour party people, 2 to 4 minute party people. Like the line is there. But sometimes when you have a good line, when you're coming up with strap lines and copy, you kind of just have to get, it just doesn't quite work.
I can imagine as a copywriter or as any sort of writer, it might rankle with you a little bit.
You're not bothered.
It's one of those where anyone outside our industry really, I really don't think they care.
Maybe.
We're kind of talking from our point of view, aren't we? So
that's the only way to talk.
Should we argue that it does matter?
Well, I'm arguing that it does. You're saying it doesn't. We're allowed to disagree.
I kind of think they're fun. People pay attention to them.
Shall I give you some more?
Yeah, go on.
1995, Smashing Pumpkins. 2019, Smashing Avocados.
See, that's good.
You like that?
Yeah.
1979, London Calling. 2019, Conference Calling. Oh, he's laughed out loud.
See, there you go. That's good. It's good.
That was a real life. And that was an IRL lol.
That was.
Can I point out that if you were 20...
Are they wrong again?
I'm giving you... Well, I'm being generous. So if in 1979, let's say you're 20, you're into The Clash. You're 20 years old. You're still going to be 60 now. So you're approaching retirement.
And even if you were 30,
you're in your 70s and like you're not conference calling anymore.
You could be.
You've
got to have your own creative license for these things.
1998.
Yep.
Baggy jeans and chokers are in. Spice Girls are on tour. 2019. Ditto.
Yeah.
I like that one. That was my favourite.
That took some thinking time then. But yeah, they are, aren't they?
Right, Tom.
But minus Jerry.
Here's the bad news.
Go on.
I've done some myself. I did these in...
You've done your own Spotify ads.
I've done my own Spotify ads. I've not put them in. You thought I was just sat doing nothing, looking at the internet this morning, weren't you? But no.
Go on.
I spent 6 minutes putting these together. I'm
waiting with bated breath.
On behalf of my entire copywriting career, I'm aware that these aren't very good.
So the people at the Spotify ad agency will be interested to hear these. Come on.
Ready?
Yep.
So before I begin...
Go on, no excuses.
No. Before I begin... There's a part of the message in the Spotify ads is that not just that you've gotten old. It's there's a bit of like you're more gentrified. There's a bit of gentrification, like the avocado thing. You know, you're into The Clash. It was all punk, and now you're smashing avocados. It's all about avocados and that type of thing. Ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the first one.
Go.
1996, Twisted Firestarter. Mm-hmm. 2019, Open Firestarter. Like an open fire.
Yes.
I nearly said electric fire starter. Exactly. That's why I did the whole explanation.
Okay.
Thanks, Tom. I wasn't expecting any positive feedback at all. Never mind straight away. You'll like this one.
Go on.
1993, Things Can Only Get Better. Classic D-Ream song.
Mm-hmm.
2019, Things Can Only Get Better. Didn't change. Same thing.
Yes, very good.
Yeah? Because everything's still
rubbish.
Bit
of a play on the Spice Girls version.
The Spice Girls version? Did they do Things Can Only Get Better?
No, I meant the Spice Girls advert. Where it's still the same.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose
I think
so.
You copied that one.
Yeah. Well, come on. 1988.
For those who can't see, there's a look of genuine annoyance on his face then.
1988, yes. Alphabet Street, Prince.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
2019, Alphabetti Spaghetti.
I don't know about that one.
It's because kids.
Yeah. No. All right. Okay. You started too strongly.
Okay.
How many have you got?
Two more.
Okay, go on.
1988, A Little Respect. One of the best songs ever written.
Erasure.
That's right. A Little Respect, 1988. 2019, A Little Rest.
Yes. Okay. I like that. Yeah. These are all very parenting themed.
They are a bit.
Are you tired, are you?
It's almost like I looked at all Spotify's before I did.
Come on then. Last one. Is it best or last?
Well, you've responded better. Yes, for me.
Okay.
But you responded slightly differently to the first one that I expected. 1989, Love in an Elevator.
Yep.
2019, Love in the Radiator. Because it keeps you warm. Keeps you warm.
I really didn't get that at all. My mind went to a totally different place there.
Well, we can just edit the last couple out. So anyway, good or bad, Spotify's ad campaign?
I think good.
What the hell?
What the hell? I like it.
I like it too.
Also like that last one they did, the data one. I'll put it on the next show.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's leave it there. I think that's probably the best place to disappear. You can subscribe to the Clever Content Podcast anytime you like. There's no kind of time limit on this, but as soon as possible would be great. Yeah. You can do that by visiting Apple Podcasts and searching for Clever Content. It's on Spotify as well. Wherever you want to go, you can get it. You can also get in touch by emailing info@contentod.co.uk, and we publish all of the episodes to the Content OD website too. Just go to contentod.co.uk/podcast. And I think that's it. Until next time. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.